And the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, the Mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Now in general we know that Chazal placed a very great emphasis on the Mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. It's apparent that we just look up to the Aseres HaDibros, so broadly, the first half of the Dibros are the Ben Odom Lamokos. The second half of the Dibros are the Ben Odom Chaver. And we are now going to be born Habilas Avicha Lesitah. In the section of the Dibros, which is Ben Odom Lamokos. So we understand from that standpoint that Chazal place, that Chazal. That Chazal placed very great emphasis on this mitzvah. We know Chazal tells us Hishva Kosov quote over the email the Kvod Shemayim. We compare Kovod, we obligated to give appearance Kvod Shemayim. So we take that as we do many other things in Chazal and at our own peril as being an analogy. We want to get some dimension of what Kibud Av V'Em is. So Chazal tell us, let's think for a moment in broad terms of Kvod Shemayim, and we'll get some idea of what sphere we have to put the cover for our parents. We take it as a broad analogy. Oftentimes, though, what we take is a simple moshul. The Rishonim don't at all interpret that way. The Rishonim learn that this is not hyperbole, this is not just to give us some insight, but rather there's a very tight connection between the two. Hishva Kosov is for a very tangible and concrete reason. And we'll see in a moment in Sefer HaChinuch. It opens up an entirely new dimension to what the Mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em is. Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, Mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em, L'chabed Av V'Em. Now, to give honor, there's a mitzvah of Meirav that it talks about elsewhere, but we're talking about Kibbut. Kibbut Avaim, to give honor to one's parents, Shenemar, Kaveh, the Savicha, Vesimach. Uvo Aperosh, and Chazal interpreted this, Ezehu Kibbut, what do we mean by Kibbut? Machol Umashke, to provide them with food and drink as they need it. We're not talking the financial wherewithal, but actually what the personal service of preparing it, giving it to them. Malvish Umachasa, to help them in terms of getting dressed, cover them when they go to sleep. Machmas Umotze, take them where they need to go, bring them back from where they need to go. That's covered. These are simple halachas so far. Now, Mishrosha Mitzvism, and here the Sefer HaChinuch pierces the heavens. He literally pierces the heavens. Shoroi Loini. Mishrosheh mitzvah, right? What is the notion behind this mitzvah? Shuroi loy li odom shiyakir v'yigmol chesed l'misha osim ha'tayim. That it is appropriate that a human being should acknowledge and pay back with kindness l'misha osim ha'tayim, anyone that does something that's good for me. V'lo yiyah novel, and one should not be perverse, or manakir, and strange, like refusing to recognize my association, but kofri tova, and not appreciate it. So, neither raw, or me'usa v'tachlis, ne'olokim v'arosh. A person that's an ingrate is something that is very despicable, both in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and as we know full well, in the eyes of people too. People do not act kindly to such a person. Now he goes on to describe a little bit chesed that our parents have done for us. The shehit den aliva, a person should ponder for a moment. Our existence is because we are alive. Without our parents, we would not be alive. So there can be nothing more fundamental than life in this world. It's the ultimate possession that a person has, life. And life was provided to a person by someone, his parents. So Consequently, that's enough reason that we owe them tremendous hakaras. That this reason in and of itself is enough that they should provide them with all manner of covet, and any possible good that I could do for them I should bestow upon them. That they have brought them to the world. Furthermore, gam yogubo kam yidios bekatnusa. A person is born in this world. We are not capable of taking care of ourselves for a moment when we arrive in this world. We were not have parents to care for us. What person could exist? What person could live more than a day in this world without his parents? Our parents to care for us. So, the tremendous responsibility they assume 24/7 to raise a child. Until the child reaches a point that the child's independent and can take care of themselves. A very long time in life. In whatever society is, in our society, even in European society, so at the age of 13 or 14, a person was expected to be independent and self-sufficient. That's a long time. And our parents were concerned for us through all of that part of life to bring us into a healthy and well-balanced adult. So these are significant reasons that we should have kibbutz our way. And if we would add, if we'd sign off at this point, Dailon already, that in terms of a fundamental aspect of Yahadus, what is the Rabbeinu Shalom's critique of Adam HaRishon after the Chet of Eitz Hadas? That Adam HaRishon is a kofri toiv. He does not appreciate, at some level, the toiv that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave him. He was despondent because he was born without chava. Lo tov heyoysa Adam levada. And the Rabbeinu Shalom provides him with his best. And Adam HaRishon, after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, is dismissive of the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom did this chesed. He dismisses it. Because I'll call him a kofri toiv. We don't need to describe him in any other way. That's itself, from the standpoint of Chazal, a very heavy indictment. But at his level, it was not such an obvious chet, not such an obvious deficiency, but Adam HaRishon at his level. So what he said until now suffices to make this a very significant case. But now he says everything that I've told you until now and all the associations concerning this mitzvah until now are merely preparatory to stage two of what the ultimate point of this mitzvah is. Once a person has fundamentally absorbed the responsibility, the ethic of being makir toiva, of expressing appreciation, when we express appreciation to others, we understand to some measure that which they have given us. We acknowledge it, focus upon it. Once we reach that, is yalem imeno, then we can go forth to the next step, which is lahakir toivas akel baruch, is to recognize the good that the Rabbeinu Shalom has done for us. Shehu sibosoi, b'sibas kol avosov, he is the reason that I am in this world and all my forebears, ad Adam HaRishon, all the way back into Adam HaRishon. Shehu tziyoi la'avar ha'ilam, the Rabbeinu Shalom has brought me forth to this world, v'sipek tzrochov kol yomov, and he's provided all my needs throughout my entire life. V'amido maskunto u'shlemus evorov, and he's given me the physical stature, health, and orientation that I have. V'nosen bo nefesh yodasa maskelis, and he's given us intellect and understanding. Sh'ilulei ha'nefesh shechonana wakeil, if not for the nefesh, for the intellect that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given the person, ye'kisus k'peret ein hovin, where would a person be any greater than a horse or a mule? Why? Because he would understand nothing. The Yaroich b'machshavto, and now a person should assess in his mind, come and become a royal lizor b'avodosa baruch hu. How careful I must be in serving the Rabbeinu Shemar. So the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, in its first level, kibud av ha'em is an appreciation to another human being, for what that human being has done for me. There are two human beings for what they have done for me. That's at the first level. But there's a level that's beyond that. But the second level is once we become capable of expressing appreciation, of feeling the indebtedness to someone else. And we start where? Something that's very concrete, not abstract. Parents are concrete in our lives. One doesn't have to be a big chacham with much insight to see that what his parents do for him. Once we have absorbed that lesson, we can now click forward, fast forward to the next step, and that is to begin to appreciate that which the Rabbeinu Shalom does for us. If we don't acknowledge the hatovah, the good, kindness that our parents have done, and we would find it impossible to integrate that appreciation into our being, then we can never integrate into our being the appreciation of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this must come first. And this is the gateway by which we approach the Shechinah. We approach the Shechinah through the appreciation that we have for our parents. And thus we come to a very different understanding. When Chazal say, Hishva HaKosuf, Ovi V'Imo, for an Ovi V'Imo to quote Shemayim, not merely a marshal to give us some idea that this is just not another chesed that we're supposed to do, but this is big time. It's much deeper than that. It's not merely a metaphor, it's a reality. Because if we don't come to Kibbutz Avraham, then we can never come to Kibbutz Shamayim. The Ramchal writes, for a person to be enthusiastic in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, can only stem from an appreciation of everything that we receive from the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. If I cannot appreciate that which the Rabbeinu Shalom does for me, then he's burdening me. Why should I do what he wants? A person that appreciates that he's a constant recipient of the Rabbeinu Shalom's chesed feels motivated to respond with appreciation. And therefore, the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom is something which is very easy for a person. Because I'm giving honor to someone that gives me everything every single day. And this is which is where the chinuch ends, become a roi loy lizor ba'avodosa baruch hu. That appreciation of the chinuch will bring us to be very, very meticulous in observing the mitzvahs of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Therefore, we'll turn to the very end, on the next page, in the very last paragraph. Three lines down into the last paragraph. One that violates the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham. Bitul Aseh, he has failed to fulfill the mitzvah of Aseh. V'ayin Shai Godol Ma'id, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will exact a very strong punishment from him. Shenaseh K'misnakeh L'Ovi Yushev HaShemayim, that by not honoring his parents, he acts in a fashion in the snacker, that he acts strange, not appreciative, if we don't appreciate the tayyib that we receive from our parents, and we can't be makir tayyib for that, then we cannot be makir tayyib for the Rabbeinu Shalom. And thus, a failure to honor our parents inherently means that we don't even begin to honor the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what he tells us. The Einish HaGodl is not just merely for the failure of HaKoras HaTov to our parents. Dayenu who would be for that, but it's beyond that. In the snakir la'obu shem b'shamayim, it indicates that we are estranged from the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. Thus we get an entirely different notion in why Kabeid is the Aseres HaDibros together with the Beirot and the Loch. We cannot fully appreciate what it means, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and what flows from that, Asher Otzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, if we don't have Kibud Avei. So the first section of the Beirot and the Loch must end with Kibud Avei. Because without Kibud Avei, we will never understand the first pasuk in the Aseret Satur Basira. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, through what mechanism? Asher Otzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That means we have the ability to appreciate that which is done for us. That has to stem from the fifth of the Dibbis, habit of the Yichalas. The Sefer HaChinuch has brought us into an entirely different realm. The appreciation of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em. And rather interesting, because in effect, is this a mitzvah of Benodun L'Chaveiro or a mitzvah of Benodun L'Mokho? Which is it? Now, I want you to turn to this. We're on the second page in the right hand column. See where it says Ois Gimel in the Minchas Chinuch? Umitzvah Sasei Kechol Mitzvah Sasei Shabbatara Linyin Shuvah. It is a mitzvah sasei, as all other mitzvahs sasei in the Torah, as far as tshuva is concerned. It is a process of tshuva for each type of chet cholim. The tshuva mechaberes, and tshuva provides kapar. And we come back about him with sukkah. This is a very interesting question. If we are b'vuah b'rambam, according to that which the Rambam wrote in the second paragraph, Beis Mitzvah Alokotes, with the Shas, which seventh of the Gemara in Yuma, that we have a very simple principle when it comes to tshuva. If there is a chet which is merely benodon amokom, then we come on Yom Kippur and we recite the vidui before the Rabbanu Shalom, we regret it, and that's between us and the Rabbanu Shalom, we are forgiven. What happens if I violated a benodon l'chaveiro, I insulted someone, I stole from someone, I embarrassed someone? Now I can't have just approached the Rabbanu Shalom and say chatos de'abisi t'shatim. But the Rebbe Shalom says back to us, it's very nice you came to me. How did you make amends to the person that you wronged in the process to? So that's why we have an Indian that we have to ask the person mechila to. We stole from a person, we have to make remuneration. And then we can come and ask the Rebbe Shalom to violate Manon Lachavero, means we've sinned against the Rebbe Shalom. He's the one that commanded us to observe it on the Havera as well. So now we can say Chatos Yuvisi Poshat. So that's what he cites from the Rambam. The process of tshuva and not the expiation of Yom Kippurim will not help but Yiratzes Havera until we appease the person that we wronged. So now my Shaila, he says, is the following. Kan b'mitzvah zu shel kibud v'mo'isa. This mitzvah, special mitzvah of Kibud Av, it's something which I'm not obligated to any other human being in the world. All the other benodon l'chaveiro, I'm obligated to every person in the world. So that's classified as benodon l'chaveiro. This additional dimension of kibud, which one has to give to a parent, so there's no such parallel obligation to anyone else. The gzeres hakosavui, the Torah's mandated, the nois of our kibud kololim, besides the dignity with which we act towards every human being, the Va'odim Achar in Israel Olitzar, what does the Torah demand of us? The Torah demands of us that we not cause, at the very minimum, that we not cause any anguish to anyone, not cause tzar to a person. We're not mechuyif to go out of our way to honor a person, an isha mailo, a person with refined midas, gives honor to people as well. But what's obligatory of us is not to cause them tzar, pain and anguish in any way. The Khan in this case is mitzvah l'chabdo. When it comes to a parent, there's an obligation to give honor. In lo kibdo, and suppose I don't live up to that honor, efshu dehirak mitzvah samokam baruch hu, perhaps it's classified as a mitzvah which is benodun l'amokam, not benodun l'chavero, v'lo benodun l'chavero. The benodun l'chavero, perhaps when we talk about a mitzvah benodun l'chavero, einu ela b'mashu shobo l'chalodom, is something which has universal application. Here, this is only honor which one has to give to one's parents. So maybe, in fact, this is not even classified altogether as Ben Odin L'Chavero. Perhaps it's totally classified as a mitzvah Ben Odin L'Mokim. Indeed, ain't no other mitzvah shevein ol lamokum baruch hu. Perhaps that's all it is. It's a mitzvah of shevein ol lamokum. Odilma kevin shashem yisbarach tziva zu hamitzvah shevein ol lachaveru. It's a second possibility. It says that perhaps the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's true, has commanded us in a very unique fashion, but who is the recipient of that? It's not a way we have to act towards the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's not here observing kashrus or shavas, but it's acting towards another human being, therefore. It's classified as a mitzvah benodu l'chaveru. Although mahani tshuva, and tshuva will not help him, lo shiratzes over v'ima, unless he appeases his parents. So now, we realize two things. First of all, he has the possibility that it's totally a mitzvah benodu l'chaveru. So it certainly belongs in the first of the five divros. Secondly, it lies at a point, even if it is a certain dimension of Ben Odom Lachaveru too, that it lies really at the nexus of Ben Odom Lachaveru and Ben Odom Lachaveru. It brings us to Kriyat Shemayim, and it's a mitzvah which for a very large extent is a Ben Odom Lachaveru. It's a special demand that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam makes of us. It's to act towards a human being in a certain fashion, but it's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in effect, who makes the demand, the special demand. So it's sort of in a category which is not exactly Ben Odom Lachaveru, and not exactly Ben Odom Lachaveru, even if he classified it as Ben Odom Lachaveru. So the fact that it's exactly at that point in the divros when we switch from the Ben Odom Lachaveru to the Ben Odom Lachaveru is rather, from the Lomdish standpoint, very ideally placed. Yes, sir. That's a different type of, it's a different mitzvah in a certain regard. It's not the same. I don't believe it has the same dimensions. That means to give him a certain dignity as a person of stature. It does not mean, it does not compare, especially not to a rabbish animal, which does not compare to a parent. Certain covers we have to give them. To act in a dignified, a zokin, he comes, we have to stand up to indicate that he's a person, an older person, a chacham comes, we should stand. The answer is the problem. The answer is at two levels. Chazal tell us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo b'tshun yal abriyus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come in an overly demanding sense to people. Meaning that we respect the suffering of people, and the people that suffer do not have oftentimes the equanimity to deal with life in a normal fashion. And we're not dismissive of them. Even if the perspective that they take is embittered and is not really, from a philosophical standpoint, correct, we don't hit them over the head for that reason. We stand back and we respectfully accept them. And we work around, we try to assuage their feelings as best we can and to offer empathy for their plight. That's in terms of how we deal with such people. And that's really the critique. When Rachel tells Yaakov, Hoveli Gornim, Ramayim Mesa, Anochi, she's telling Yaakov, it's up to you to bring me a child. Chazal tell us there are three maftechas, right, which stand in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and so on. Life is certainly something that's the ultimate thing that's given to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We talk about the Warren Tainus, we talk about Shomim, Samesim. Life, labor. So how did she approach Yaakov Avinu and ask him for a child? So Rabbeinu Shel Olam's call, not Yaakov Avinu's call. So Yaakov Avinu says, "Hasachas Elokim Anochi, Hashem Mona Mimech Privota." Am I the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that disposes who will have a child and who will not have a child in this world? And Chazal say that he sinned when he made the statement for a very interesting reason. Was he correct in his critique? Philosophically, he was correct. That's not the problem. The problem was, is this a person in anguish? Is this the answer that he should have given up? So the sovereignty, he was correct, and that's why he responded in a very strong fashion. But she needed sympathy. She didn't need to be hit over the head. Even though he was right, at a certain level, she didn't need to be hit over the head. That's one thing. The second thing is everything, if we look at an ultimate philosophical perspective, there's the famous Hasidic story of a person that went to his Rebbe, and he asked him, Chazal tell us a very difficult thing. Kashem Shemavorach and Allah Toiv, Kach Mavorach and Allah Ra. So can you explain this to me? So the Rebbe told him, he's a Yid that lives in this town, and he'll explain it to me. Okay. So he travels, it's a lengthy trip, he travels by foot, you know, hundreds of miles across Poland, because he must know the answer to this question. Comes to the town, a little tiny village, poor, ramshackle, and he starts making inquiries about this person. So they tell him, you know, go way down, keep going down, 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 down towards the edge of town. He keeps coming, and a dilapidated poor town, he's now showing up in the poor district, in the impoverished district of this town. I mean, the main street didn't exactly look like Madison Avenue or Scarsdale. And now he has reached the fourth section of this town. And they keep telling him, keep going, keep going. The last block in town, he comes into a house. He's never seen a place so dilapidated. The roof is half fallen in. It's dim, it's dingy, it's cold. He walks in, and there's a man sitting before him who's obviously in ill health, uncomfortable, not robust. This stranger, and he looks up at the stranger and he says, tell me, he says, what brings you here today? Well, he says, I'll tell you, I went to my Rebbe, I live in this town, and the Rebbe said, I asked him, what's the pshat? He said, Shemavorach and Allah Toyotah, Mavorach and Allah Ra, how could you do such a thing? And the Rebbe said, I should come ask you and you'll explain it to me. And he looks up at him rather puzzled and he says, I don't understand, he says, why in the world your Rebbe sent you to me? There's nothing bad that ever happened to me in my entire life. If we understand that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sent us to this world for a purpose, and that purpose ultimately, when we'll come back after Mayav Esrim Shon have completed whatever that task is, that we will be infinitely better off than we were before. So when the ultimate philosophical sense of every person that comes to this world in whatever state is for an ultimate goal. A person that has the amuna to be able to see that in whatever circumstance the person finds themselves, a very difficult task of amuna, such a level of amuna, but a person that has that feels worthy and happy to be in this world under any circumstance. I used to spend the summers with a woman who suffered from MS. Horrendous. And watched over many years as she deteriorated. And she was a woman of awesome amuna in her most weakened state. She had, I don't think she could move a finger anymore. And she had the most unbelievable amuna. Or the Gadol said about her when she was niftara that she reached the state that she was in a shomer without a guf. And her amuna was off the charts. Off the charts. Unshakable. From her perspective, she appreciated what it meant, the gift of life. To be able to spend a day, another day, looking into the Sefer Tehillim. Needing someone else to turn the pages for. That's the answer. No, what goes sigs all he says is if it's universal in application, then he's sure that that's a mitzvah ben odin l'chaver. Something which is unique for one person. So is that viewed in terms of that person, and that's a special obligation that Rabbeinu Shlomo has placed upon us, and the person is merely incidental in that regard to that obligation. Yes, but each one of us has it for only two people in the world. That's why he says it's not really typical of most mitzvahs ben odom l'chaver. So, in the context of everything the Chinuch has said, this is a very powerful question, and the Lomdish question is a very powerful question. Very powerful question. Now, let's go back a little bit. We have a little time to go back in the Minchas Chinuch here. Back to the beginning, really very fascinating. What the parameters of this mitzvah? In Aleph, Dinei HaMitzvah, Ayin Rambam, Paragvol, Milchus Mamrim, Avator Shacharach, Yehudei Atzimim Reishmach. Ubechlau mitzvah zu gamken eishas ha'av b'chaye ovid, ubal imo b'chaye imo. That if one of its parents should remarry, as Zivuk Sheni, a second marriage, so their new spouse one is obligated to give honor to, according to the Rambam, is b'chaye oviv and b'chaye imo. As long as the spouse from which I am obligated min haTorah to give honor is living, and then I have to give kovod to their spouse. A person's father married a second time. So the wife, his father's second wife, the Rambam says, is obligated to give kovod to, as long as his father lives. If his mother remarries, he's obligated to give honor to his mother's second husband, as long as his mother lives. And the Rambam writes, the Minatur, a mitzvah l'chabna. This is a mitzvah to say Minatur. It's not a drabama. A yein, soaked suvus, kuft yimul omar aleph, yu du reis, v'cheinu barambam, kar halofa tezbo. It's interesting, there is some debate about this, and that is that the Meiri, one of the Rishonim, says, feels this is only a Dindra Abbama, not a Dindra Reis. The Rambam Pashtun is actually a Dindra Reis. Why is it B'chaye Ya'av and B'chaye Ya'av? Because this is an extension of my obligation to honor my father and honor my mother. Ya'anoshim Hanal wrote some B'kibudim B'chaye Ya'av, that my father would want me to honor her second wife, and my mother would want me to honor her second husband. So part of the cover that I have to have for her is to honor that wish. The S teaches us an inner dimension. After his own parent has died, Nirad ein chiyovim chabda mafila midrabba. That there's no mitzvah even with the Rabbanan to offer cover to them. The Alkein Tzibur Rabbeinu HaKodesh Osech Mavurasham, the Gemara says that he told his children to be careful about the cover for his spouse even after his death. So if it was a mitzvah, there was no special reason that he had to give question of that. Now, and this is also the that the Shulchan writes, that la'achar moysam, that one is not obligated. It is an appropriate thing, a proper thing, to give them honor even after the death of one's own parents. There are those b'shenim that say it is not only an honorable thing to do, but one is obligated midrabanon to give kovod to the surviving second wife or second husband among parents. So, I guess part of that is, in a certain regard, the kovod among this one's parents is bein b'chayev bein b'moysa, that we have to give honor even after the death to our parents. Apparently that carries over, at least with the Rabbonon, that we should go on even in death and honoring the spouse that we were obligated to honor because of them, b'chayev as they lived. Now, V'ayim shom, the marbinon mevov de ve'es, which is tabi es of ichol de es in echol ve'nevov, the rabbi sechicha golda, one's oldest brother, one is obligated to give honor to him. And it's a mitzvah derisa. The ayin Rambam cut, that the Rambam is less than clear. Now we're going to run into something which is very interesting. We have mitzvahs that we call minatur, mitzvahs which we call midrabbanan, and the Rambam has a category of mitzvahs that he calls mitzvahs midivrei seifrim. A seifrim seems to imply that the Rabbanan created. And in fact, in certain places, Chazal say, why were the Rishonim, the Kadmonim, called seifrim? Because they counted all the letters in the Torah. And each letter in the Torah, they didn't learn the Torah, not by the Pasuk, not by the Parsha, but each letter had a message. As we know, Rabbi Akiva learned new halachas from the Targum, from the crowns on the letters, he was able to derive new halachas from it. The Lama Nikra are Rishonim Seifrim. Seifrim would seem to apply a Dindu Rabbanan, and this generated phenomenal confusion in the Rambam's views. The Rambam writes here, for example, Kosav, the Rambam, Ayin Ramkan, Kosav, Chayavodim, Bechabit, Eishas, Oviv, his father's second wife, calls Manch Oviv Kayam, Shazer Bechlau Tiburav, as long as his father's living, this is part of Tiburav. And we did raise Seifrim, and we did raise Seifrim, let's be careful. No, we're not going to translate that word here. Shehei Odom Chayi Bechoyed Ochi Vagodu, Tifoyed Ochi. The Midivrei Seifrim, he should give honor to his eldest brother as he would give to his parents. For Ayin Shom the Kesef Mishnah. The Kibur Eishas Avu Bal Imo, that the covet that he has to give a parent's second spouse, came with the Rabbina Luhumei S, since it's in the word S, that's Suvim Mufurish Dalai. It's considered as if it's spelled out explicitly in the Pasuk. But Och Godel, however, an elder brother, came in the Marbina Lemi, he toured the Vav. Since it's only from an extra Vav, Kaved Esavichav Ve'esimecha, Lo Choshev Kemefurish Patera, it's not considered as if it's explicitly spelled out in the Torah, Elam Yidivrei Seifrim from Adkan Vishoda. Near Midvorav Shalaram, it would seem from the Ramba, the cave and the Muchach, the Yitur, the Vavdino, the Inter Mamash. He means it's Minatur. It is Minatur, except the Rambam, those things which we derive from, indirectly from Sukkim, the Rambam classifies it as a new category. It's the Raisa, it's the Dirai Seifrim, and then there's things which the Rabbanan enacted, it's, these are the, which are Dinei Rabbanan. So the Rambam then would refer to many things which are Divrei Seifrim, which are in fact Minatur, except they're not explicitly, without the Chachmei Torah, Chazal, to interpret the Pasuk for us, we would not see that in the Pasuk. And therefore, that's considered Divrei Seifrim, even though it's derisive. Rak Shekorei Oysam Divrei Seifrim, Ki Yadu Adarko Shal Aram. And this, the Rambam, this is a whole issue in Sefer HaMitzvot, what the Rambam meant by this. At the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvot, there was a whole controversy with the Ramban concerning this. Ayem the Sefer HaMitzvot, Shoresh Beis. Umashikosava Rashbats, who was Ubal Megillas Esther Shom, these are Perushim that wrote commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvot to explain the Rambam's views. Ach, Ayin Shom B'Shoresh Beis, Hissig HaRambam, Almoni HaMitzvot Shomon HaMitzvot Sonet Roshim Yed Gimel Midas. He said, those that the Rambam's view is that anything that we learn from the Yud Gimel Midas should not be counted in terms of the Taryag Mitzvot. It's a derisa, but it doesn't belong in Taryag. So the Rambam says that those that feel that everything that we learn from the Yud Gimel Midas should be included in Taryag, so he says, Lomo Lomonu Kibur Eishas Av, why didn't they count the father's second wife, Ubal Imo, and her mother's second husband, Va'ochi Va'godl, and an elder brother, Nero Lehedya, the Gamana Droshim Es, that even that which we learn from S, who the Shittos of the Reseifim is only the Reseifim. Ach Nero the Ram Chayzer Kan Nizemach was a service Ramban, that the Rambam retracted and changed his view. Now that which it says in S is not considered an outright drosha because it's not in a word in the Torah itself. Okay, but the Bavu B'Shaz Deraisahu Mo the Haram the Havi Torah, that's classified as in the Torah. In Kin Zahavi Minat Torah, the Chayzer Akolo Kibarovus. So when it comes out, it's a din deraisa, and this is an adjunct part of kibud av v'eim. In other words, giving kavod to one, the second wife of a second spouse of a parent, that's a full-fledged deraisa, and the Rambam talks about it as deraisa and it's part of Kibud Av V'Em itself. Whereas the cover for an elder brother is the Raisa, but it's not inherently part of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em itself. It's an added part. Rochiv Agogel came with the Lomatzinim B'Shas Loimer Alov the Raisa. There is no statement where it's called the Raisa. Rak Mevi Milimud Vov. We learned it out from the Vov of the Esi Mecha. Efshe the Vov Lo Udashina. In a well of the Raisa. Now he brings some parallels to this as well. And that the halachas that we learn from a Vov are considered Dinem Duraisa, even though we learn them out from an extra Vov and a Pasuk. And this is just to reinforce that view. There was a tremendous amount of controversy what the Rambam meant. When the Rambam wrote that these are, in the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that these mitzvahs are Medivrei Seferim, I mean, the Rishonim taught our heroes, because these are derisives. How did the Rambam call them Divrei Sefer? Until it became apparent that, and I think even from a tshuva of the Rambam himself, that the Rambam merely had a different system of classification. He classified Dinim derisives in two categories. Those were explicitly in the Torah in one category, and none which were derived halachas in a second category, but they're all derisives. And it's obvious the difference between a mitzvah deraisa, if ochiv agodol, to give honor to one's elder brothers, deraisa, derabonon, there are huge differences. Because many, for example, we'd say sofer deraisa l'chumra, sofer derabonon l'chumra. So if it's a deraisa, and there's a question if I'm obligated in a certain case, so I'm obligated to do it. If it's a din derabonon and there's a sofer, I don't have to do it. So it's very, very important to determine which it is. Now, the question when we talk about the responsibility to give honor to one's eldest brother, yeah, what is that a mitzvah in its own right? It's an independent mitzvah? Or is it merely an adjunct to Kibud Av V'Em? Because it's just, for example, as the Rambam said, that a person is obligated to give kavod to his parent's second spouse, because that's an extension of giving kavod to them, this is what they want. So naturally in this world, an eldest brother is usually viewed is the heir apparent of the family. He's usually the one that has varied responsibilities in taking care of the family's business, and looking over the parents, and figuring out what's supposed to be done. He has a very special role. That's usually the way the world works. So therefore, in one regard, it's an extension of coverage for one's parents. Because this is what they want, that their eldest son should, in fact, take the familial responsibility and act upon it. So perhaps it's an extension of Kibud Av V'Em. Or perhaps it's a mitzvah in its own right. Because of his unique status usually in the family, so we have an obligation to honor him, which is apart from the obligation to honor parents. So then what's the difference between them? He says the difference is, well, what happens, is this only limited to during the lifetime of one's parents? Or even subsequent to the lifetime of his parents? One is obligated to give honor to his eldest brother, because it's an independent mitzvah. Vayein Rambam b'sefer ha-mitzvah shom daifu digam ochi v'agodol u'b'chayei ha'ovah ismach maskibudam fi ritzayin ha-bukam. The Rambam says that the responsibility to give honor to the eldest brother was also during the lifetime of the parents, because that's what they did. Avo v'divrei ha-ram nira, because the Rambam made no such condition. The Rambam said, in terms of a second spouse, the Rambam says that's during the lifetime of the parent. When the Rambam talks about Ochiv HaGodol, the Rambam makes no mention of a time limitation to it. This is nearer to Aflach HaMoisim Chayav B'Kibudah. That even after his parents' lifetime, he's still obligated to give honor to his eldest brother. The Eitzel Eishes Ochiv HaBalim Okosuv calls Manshu Chayim. There the Rambam stipulated the mitzvah for a second spouse is as long as his own parent is still alive. The Khan, when it comes to his eldest brother, Sosuv Okosuv, nearer to Spirulay, the Becholim in Chayav. That this transcends the lifetime of his parents. Well, Omach was Kibud Av V'Snogel, but it's an independent halacha. It's not merely an adjunct or an extension of Kibud Av V'Em. Rak Yivzeres HaKosuv. Now, the possibilities are two. Either that the Torah mandated it, or the Chazal took it. Okay, perhaps it's a Din D'Rabbanan. There is that possibility. The Rambam doesn't hold that way. It may be a Din D'Rabbanan. But either way, it's a mitzvah which transcends, from the Rambam standpoint, the lifetime of parents. Om Yashas Ksuvas Hochi Mashma. And from the Gemara Ksuvas, with Rabbeinu HaKodesh, it would seem that it's an independent mitzvah. The al-eishes av, in terms of a second spouse or a parent, b'vur dafke b'chayim, that it only is necessary during the lifetime of the parent. Avu b'ochi v'agodol in a b'vur. It makes no such indication. Kol kocha d'v'cholim b'chayim b'chvoidoy. That one is obligated, even after the death of one's parents, to give honor to the eldest brother. So, we have that in the way of Kibbut Ava'im, and we have in summary that this extends even to a second spouse of a parent, and it extends to Ochi V'Godol his brother. And how much does one have to give honor to one's eldest brother? It's a big machma, this halacha. I have to tell you, a very big machma. Well, let's leave that for the moment. Let's stick with the simple shot. In a nearer the cholakovet shemachuyim la'aviv imo mechuy chayim gam kein beishim banav. The full range of the things which is obligated to give honor to one's parents, one is obligated to their second spouse, and one is obligated to one's eldest brother as well. Im kein ba'aviv kevin the kibud mosrok ach mitzara svara. That's what seems he says. But if we were merely left to our own devices, we might in fact say the other ones. Came in the kibud mosru akosum the chacham. The Torah didn't spell out what the kibud is. It left it to the sages to describe the aspects of kibud. Him came ba'ovavi moshayach the kovod, lo lipro iso b'shmo kedom. Part of the kovod for one's parents, that Chazal told us, is not to call them by their name. Avot ochiv efshir the ainzer b'chah kovod. That we're not obligated not to call our eldest brother by his name. And in fact, in common practice, we don't find in the world that the Midian and Klal Yisrael is that people don't address their oldest brother by their name. In our society, there's nobody that would ever dare to address a parent by their own first name. It would be totally unheard of. Practical life, it would be considered a major breach of appropriate conduct. And yet when it comes to an elder brother, we know that this is not the way Klal Yisrael conducts itself. So we would see him, he said, there are some differences between them. We'll hold it at this point. Say, yeah.
What about
Yeah, so it's all very clear. The covet is bein b'chayim, bein b'mosa. We'll talk about it yet, later on here. But that's clear in the Chazal, the Gemara's Mefurish, the Gemara in Kedusha. Yeah, this covet, the fact that we say that we make the kel moly for them, that we say we learn in their schus, these are all aspects of covet, which are lacham, we say. The fact that we refer to them in a reverential way is covet lacham. No, that's what he's saying. That if they're called with something, that's what he said. It calls certainly calls man that they're married to one's parent. One's obligated to give them the full covenant that one gives to one's parent. No difference. Whatever you call them. Yeah, double. Well, until the halacha only mandates covered for a person that's past 70. Beyond that, it's a sense of our own, this sense of propriety. And we're very careful. Chazal were very careful about that. So, people that are older than we are. Yeah. That's another halacha. We'll talk about that. It's a dinder rabbanon, but we'll talk about that.
Why is it that people attack each other?
So apparently, because that's something that they felt was unique, that we owe to our parents. Our oldest brother is not exactly our parents. Okay, I'm ready for that. We'll take this up next week.